Well, this is a unique day for us as Anglicans and for us as Catholic Christians. We have many feasts throughout the church year. We have feasts celebrating events in our Lord's life, feasts celebrating events in the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of our Lord, feasts celebrating apostles, martyrs, saints. We even have a feast celebrating a doctrine, Trinity Sunday. But today we do something that would very much confuse some of our very, very Protestant brethren. We have the feast of a building, of this church, this structure. Now, we could gloss over this and talk about the church as the gathered people of God, and that is true as well. But for us, this is not a meeting house. It's not a preaching hall. It's sacred space, dedicated to be used solely for the worship of Almighty God. There is something unique about this place that is not true of our homes, our businesses, or the other places that we go. This is God's house in a way that non-consecrated space is not. This, of course, is not to say that God is not also everywhere, but God chooses to be located in the presence of the tabernacle and the temple, located here at the altar. We meet God here in a way we do not meet him elsewhere. And so on this day, we celebrate the dedication of our church. That first day when the bishop blessed a building on this very plot of land dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel in Texarkana for the glory of God and for the benefit of God's people. But we also celebrate the ongoing dedication of the church. It's not simply a one-time event. Though the bishop dedicated the church at once, we participate in the consecration of this space at every Mass that is offered, every prayer that is said, every waft of incense that permeates the walls in this building. It is an ongoing thing. For us this day, as we celebrate the dedication of our church, we do well to remember what God has established here, as relates to our reading from Genesis. This is indeed no less than the house of God and the gate of heaven. We also remember that ongoing, we have the sanctifying work of the church. We continually participate in the dedication of this place. It is not simply a one-time event. And the letter from Peter gives us some insight into this. And finally, we hear an oddly stern gospel for such an exciting day, reminding us that we must participate in handing on the good faith and work of this place to the next generation, that it may not become a den of robbers, but remain a house of prayer for all people. So what is it about this place that is different from how many others experience church? If you go by some of the particularly honest churches of Christ, you will see on their sign, the Church of Christ meets here. They go to great length to tell you that the church is the people, it's not a building. But for us, we believe that God has set this place apart to be the place that we meet him, the place where we come to feast on the body and blood of our Lord, to offer prayers, to hear the word preached. The church is the people of God, and at the same time, this holy place, this building, this temple made of human hands, has been set aside by God as no less than the gate of heaven. This is far more than a building. This is the place where we come into the church, as many of you have, through the font at the back of the church, being brought into the community of faith. We follow the early church in this. After the persecutions were lifted, one of the very first things the early Christians set about doing was getting out of the house churches and making dedicated houses of prayer, space used for nothing other than the worship of God. We follow in their footsteps. This is the gate of heaven, whereby we have received our salvation through the church. God is our Father only because the church is our mother. And the church for us in Texarkana is located in this building, in this holy place where God meets us. This is like the experience Jacob had, awaking from his sleep and recognizing, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this the gate of heaven. Something about this place, about the over a century of worship that has permeated this space in this town should affect the very depths of our souls. When you walk into this room, I hope you recognize, and I trust that you do, that this space feels different than any other place you go throughout your week. God meets us here. This is the house that he has built that we have received. And so we give thanks when this work began, when the bishop came out to those faithful few who wanted to establish an Episcopalian mission in Texarkana and bless the first building on this site. We have a long and storied history. We inherit an impressive and great history of our local parish, and this is a great benefit to us. But the consecration of the church is ongoing as well, just as much as it is a one-time event that took place many, many years ago. If you travel around Europe, you can see many beautiful churches, blessed by bishops, handed down for centuries. And you can take tours of these churches at almost any time, because there is no probability that you will interrupt a worship service. These are beautiful places, blessed by a bishop, oil and everything. And yet the people of God lost their way. They did not participate in the ongoing worship of God. Are they still churches? Of course. But when you go there, you can tell that something is different. They have become art museums, a place where people look at relics of a religious history gone by. But the church is a living, sacred, holy space. And we all participate in this sanctification by the way we worship God and by the way we live our lives. Our epistle reads that we are to put away all malice, guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. We are to be just as Christ, that cornerstone the builders rejected, living stones to be built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We gather here to offer sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Part of who we are as a people is to share in the priesthood of Christ, the ongoing dedication and sanctification of this place. Part of the reason this church is holy is not simply because a bishop blessed it long ago. It is because for over a century, faithful Christians have inhabited this space, have offered prayers to God, have celebrated Mass, have buried the dead, have baptized the babies and the converts, have been married. God has been met in this place. You can feel it in the pews. You can almost touch it in the walls. And this is part of the ongoing work. Part of what we have inherited, we owe in great deal to those who were courageous in times of great difficulty. Father Westifer was here only for 18 months before, without the help of the vestry and beaten down from the battle, he left. But while he was here, he integrated this altar rail for the first time in the history of our parish. Many years before, much to our shame, some Black Episcopalians wanted a place to worship. They were going to meet the Bishop Suffragan of Arkansas, who happened to be African American. And our parish allowed this bishop to meet people in the upper room of the parish house and not in the church. But Father Westifer would have none of this. At great personal cost, he did the right thing. He recognized that the altar rail is not for white people, it is not for rich people, it is for the entire people of God. And we benefit from his courage at great personal cost. After he left, Father Allen came, and he continued the work of reconciliation between the races, seeing the integration of St. James Day School in 1964. Oddly, not that long ago in the scope of human history. And as reading about the history of the school, I found a quote from one of the members of the board. The school was going to be integrated beginning with the three-year-olds, because that's when an African-American family happened to bring forth a three-year-old. They wanted to go to the school. One of the board members was very upset about this and wrote the headmaster. You should never put shameful things in writing, by the way. She wrote the headmaster that I wish we could integrate at the upper grades, because these young children don't have any, well, discrimination. I don't think she even got the irony. She said, if we integrate them at such a young age, not knowing any better, they'll be walking around, arms around each other's necks. And so it was. We owe a debt to those before us who recognized the need for great social change. Those who recognized the need to align a white church to be part of the whole people of God, and in doing so, to be more truly Catholic. So we are grateful for our history. We have a wonderful history. It is a great benefit to us. But I believe our great history also poses a great danger. Now, we are a wonderful parish. We are so blessed to be here together. We have a wonderful history. We have a worship and patrimony that I would put up against any parish in our diocese. But we cannot get the false impression that the work has already been done. We cannot talk about history as it is something that has already been accomplished and not something that we ourselves now must make. We have to participate in the ongoing proclamation of the gospel in new and courageous ways. We have been integrated for some time, and this is a good thing indeed. But as we read the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that this temple of God, blessed and given to the worship of God, lost its way. It became a den of robbers where people were making money. Have you wondered how this happened? We don't hear that much about it, but we can imagine at some point the temple proclaimed the right worship of God. People were meeting God, living rightly. They lost their way. We cannot think for a moment that the work of proclaiming the gospel, of speaking truth to an unjust society, is done. One day they will write history about us. I don't quite know what they will say. But we have the opportunity to not simply be a sleepy generation in the history of this church. We know that every institution, every movement, every philosophy is always no more than one generation away from extinction. And we must live with this urgency. We must impress the faith upon the hearts and souls of our children so that one day they will sit as the older congregants in these pews to carry on the good work. We must see the great needs that society has for us to speak truth to them. Though we have made much progress in race relations, women still make 77 cents for every dollar that men make doing the same job with the same education and the same experience. What will they say about us? We are making history even now. Will they say, just as Father Allen and Father Westifer, that we recognized long before it was popular to do so in Texarkana, that the immigrants among us, documented or not, are to be received as people of God? Will they say that we, recognizing our resources, finally said there is no reason we should permit any child in Texarkana to go to bed hungry? Will they say that we were fed up enough to demand that everyone, regardless of where they live in our city, has equal access to education and all the benefits of a just society? If we think that progress has already been accomplished, we fool ourselves. We cannot simply sit on the shoulders of giants and do nothing. We must stand on their shoulders and proclaim the gospel anew for a new generation and a new time, faced with just as much discrimination, just as much social injustice as has been done before. My brothers and sisters, we have a great history in this place. This is a house of prayer that has existed for over a century. This is a people of God that have confronted the issues of race and injustice, and the work still goes on. We can only talk about history today, recognizing that we are part of it. Now, what they will say of us is for later generations to determine. But it is my prayer that after we are all long in our graves and gone to our rest, that they will say we were a people in this place for this time who recognized the inheritance that we had and possessed the courage, the will, and the resolve to proclaim the reign of God over every facet of human life in every nook and cranny of our society for God's great glory, for our great benefit, and for the salvation of the world. Amen.
Let us stand and join with all the Christians who have been in this place and proclaim our faith, saying, we believe in one God, the Father.